You thought you'd gotten rid of us, didn't you? But you were wrong, old bean, because we're back with a vengeance.
From studios in Hollywood, California, rural southern Indiana, and the hinterlands of North Dakota, this is the Live, Laugh, Golf Podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Desert Duffer, OTB Lefty, and Jay Score.
Welcome back to the show. Duffer here. Jason, OTP Lefty, how are you, buddy? Good weekend?
Man, I'm great. Super duper busy weekend. Down and back to Tennessee, all across the state, playing golf with old friends and new. Got to go to Sweetens Cove, played about 36 holes on Sunday, played an awesome Golf Club of Tennessee course on Saturday. Tremendous hospitality, great fellowship, great meals, great banter, all that
That's
stuff.
That's Peyton territory. Did you see any Mannings?
Yeah, put a little.
Any Manning sightings?
I did not see any Mannings, but the weather was just capital and just the best time possible.
Are they still offering bourbon? Is that only for first time visitors to Sweetens Cove that you get the?
Now that it's part of the golf entertainment ecosystem, as the hobby expands, there is now a 20 to 30 minute presentation about all of the age old traditions since 2018.
Got to go to a class.
And part of it includes them pouring a shot for everyone.
What to do in case of a flash flood.
Just a communal moment where everyone takes a drink and they say, who's here for the first time and who's played golf before? All of that stuff. But it's sweet and it's a lovely place to play golf. And I do believe that setting matters. I tell people all the time, you can play cross-country golf at your home course. You can. But there's something about that valley and all the stuff that
the
goes
place
with
is amazing.
Just,
and when the light hits it, I mean, in the morning and the evening, just the shadows and on those little mounds, it's a beautiful place.
We had prime accommodations. And like I said, just one of the best times I've had as someone who takes about 12 golf trips a year. It's hard for one to stand out, but I'm going to put that up with anything I've done this year in the United States. Jesse, how was Minnesota?
Minnesota was fantastic. It's that time of year where things are just magical out there. I've not been to Sweetens yet, which is wild to say. It's also still not very high on my list. It sounds crazy to say, but I feel like I maybe missed the boat there. It's I feel like maybe it's
nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded, right?
Too crowded. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Other priorities have come up, you know. Yeah. But no, this weekend it's that time of year in Minnesota where things are just can be absolutely perfect. And Saturday morning was out at White Bear Yacht Club. Angry Bear.
Fancy.
Yeah, you know.
Shout out Baxter. Had a good Shout time. Out Baxter. Thanks for listening.
Appreciate it. Yeah, Angry Bear pin positions. It was my first time experiencing that out there at White Bear. And
that's the superintendent's revenge stuff you were talking about, right?
Yes. Yep. Exactly. So, yeah. Pretty diabolical locations.
I saw a picture or two. How angry was the bear?
Our match came down to the 18th. I got beat by a birdie, but his birdie to my bogey also resulted in us carding the same score. But a lot of I'll say this: a lot of sevens and eights, and a lot of fours and fives as well. So.
All right. Well
excellent.
It seemed like it could have been worse for sure.
It could have been worse. Things could have gotten away from us quick.
Yeah, well, I didn't get to a fancy course. I didn't play Valley Club. Pretty relaxing, low-key weekend in Santa Barbara. You know, the wives went to San Ysidro Ranch and did fancy spa treatments.
Aren't you basically always on vacation out there?
Well, pretty much. So we took out a couple of the old Mustangs, took out the Shelby, and rode around Santa Barbara, Montecito. That was pretty cool. But, for me, the weekend quickly turned sour as I returned home to Hollywood. And my refrigerator had defrosted and freezer had defrosted. The fridge is on the fritz. It's got to go. Had to empty out the freezer, empty out the fridge. It's really it's pretty sad when you have to get a new refrigerator and you empty out that freezer. It's just, there's so much unfulfilled potential. You know, so many times that I bought these things and took out the vacuum sealer and bagged them up and put them in there and thought about future meals that they'll never come to fruition, Jesse. That's gone.
Museum of broken promises.
Yes.
Every item you hold, you think of the meal that could have been. And
So there's a like a $5,000 circuit panel and a new $3,000 or $4,000 refrigerator in my future. So really excited about what happened this weekend.
Yeah, that sounds lovely.
Anyway, pro golf was going on. The biggest story in pro golf, I guess, in the past week, it's undeniable, Bryson DeChambeau finishing second at the national, or is it the World Professional Long Drivers Association World Championship in Mesquite, Nevada. Our guy, your guy, Jay scored. You're
my guy.
Yeah, you're the big BDC guy.
Yes.
Second place, longest drive in the final, 406 yards. He lost to Germany's Martin Borgmeier. I guess those guys are really good friends. Bunch of pictures on Instagram. You must have been glued to the TV set watching this, right?
Unfortunately, I only caught highlights. Time is precious when the weather's good up here right now this time of year. But long drive is incredible. It's incredible.
Your forever excuse. Like, no, the sun was shining. It was above freezing. I couldn't walk.
Yeah. Come up, but seriously though, you're going to come up and we're going to go ice fishing at some point.
Yeah, I can't wait to do that.
It's going to be.
But incredible. Bryson, that's pretty impressive. People made fun of him.
It is.
I remember when he first started doing this, everyone was making fun of him. Yeah, oh, Bryson is long, but he's not long like these guys. They're going to eat him up. They're going to eat his lunch. Well, Bryson just came second. Now it's important to recognize. So who's the other guy? The big name there, Kyle. Somebody or other.
Kyle Berkshire.
Yeah. Berkshire. He, I guess, also had a hand injury. Turns out maybe this long drive stuff is not that great for your body. Yeah. He's recuperating from
an
injury.
Looks kind of violent.
But he did play anyway. He did participate. He didn't obviously make the finals. But, you know, with that guy there, it might be a little bit different. But still, impressive performance from Bryson. I think first prize was like $55,000 or something. So maybe Bryson picked up a nice 20 grand or something.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Just think about a couple of things that go with him that are just right. They're just his type of thing. They say you can't. It's an unorthodox path for a professional golfer, a championship golfer who relies on precision. This is not really a precision game. This is about maxing out your physical potential. He made some judgments about strokes gained for his precision game, but even so, that's within reason. That's a measured high ball speed thing, right? This is maxing out. So he's got some versatility, and he's also probably got a path where he's made allowances to basically have two kinds of swings, I would bet you, because he's doing different things. You got different equipment, you got a different approach. And I just think it's really neat. It's a testament to the determination and the single-mindedness.
Yeah, I also would say that it's less about, for me, and who knows what's going on in Bryson's head, but to me, it's not like he's doing this, or at least I don't think I've ever heard him say that he's participating in these competitions in order to help his traditional golf game. Like I know he believes, and rightly so, that the longer, the better in today's game. But I think he's doing this. He's participating in these competitions just for fun. I think he gets a kick out of it. And I get a kick out of that too.
I mean, yeah. Please don't misunderstand. I don't think he's like trying to build a second career or a second stream of income. I'm saying this is really neat. Like someone said, we don't think you can do this. And he goes, oh, wait, but I can. And everything that's in this pursuit, like it was a very extreme set of behaviors that got him to add all that bulk, to add that distance that helped him earn that United States Open. And this is a different thing entirely, right? And he brings all of that wisdom that he learned from building the accuracy that it takes to be that good. And then he brings it to this. It's just an extra element. It's like Willie Gault running
exactly,
sprints.
Yeah. And I think it'd be better if there,
I mean, it's really cool.
I think the game would be more exciting and more interesting if there were more crossover. Like, wouldn't you love to have this Kyle Berkshire get his short game together or whatever it takes for him? Wouldn't you love to see that guy out there like competing or even just making a cut at one of these tournaments? Or, you know, our favorite Troy, get her out there on the LPGA. I mean, that would it'd be phenomenal. That's the kind of stuff that we need to make golf a little bit more interesting.
Hitting 406 yard bombs is cool. It's objectively cool. Like any golfer who says it's not cool, the thought of hitting a 400 yard drive is out of their mind.
Yeah.
I'm just basking in all this, guys, as the proclaimed Bryson fan of the group. I'm like, I don't even need to do anything. You guys covered it all. You pumped him up.
Listen, you're definitely the number one.
I'll say the one thing you guys didn't touch on is I think another aspect of the long drive league that doesn't get talked about a ton is that it's essentially a very tight-knit traveling circus. So the camaraderie, the familiarity with the everybody on that payroll to make that thing happen every week, they form bonds. And I think that also, you know, you think of Bryson and the TikTok house and all that, and just his general demeanor, the rope video that came out, which was funny at first. And then like the more I saw it, the more I hated
it. Pylon culture. But I think you're exactly right about that. I think Bryson really thrives on, you know, support between competitors. So different from what the PGA Tour has traditionally been. It's been more like the, you know, they used to say this about the Red Sox in the 1970s, 25 players, 25 cabs. You know, that's what the PGA Tour is like. And I think Bryson is longing for the kind of support among his competitors that I think he's getting both on the LIV Tour and certainly seems to be getting from the competitors in the long drive competition. Like I said, you know, he's on there with Martin Borgmeier, the winner of the competition, on Instagram. They seem to really enjoy each other's company. It's great to see. I mean, like, I don't get people who think Bryson is a bad guy. You know, I get it. I get it. He's somebody that...
He's a goober.
Yeah, he's easy to make fun of, and he says dumb things, and he does dumb things, but I don't get a bad guy vibe from him.
No, at least not intentionally, right? Like, not deliberately bad or evil or anything like
that. Yeah, there's no malice from him.
Right.
Anyway, so you think it's cool. I think it's cool. Speaking of cool and cool guys, the other big story in pro golf, I think, this week was last night, Justin Thomas on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Did you guys catch JT on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, Mr. Cool?
I miss it, but as soon as you told me about it, I immediately jumped all over it because I had to see the coolest guy in golf. Hanging out with one of the funniest guys on TV.
I'm just going to let that one hang for a second, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, he shows that he's wearing
Was the delivery too convincing?
God, he's wearing like a members-only style leather jacket. He's got a white t-shirt underneath. It's bad Fonzie. He's wearing, I guess, they look like Jordans, kind of black Jordans. It's what, I guess, 29-year-old Justin Thomas, multimillionaire golfer, sees as that's the cool thing when you're in Hollywood. That's what you rock on the. I guess it's Jimmy Fallon's in New York, I guess, right? So he's in New York, the big city where I'll be headed tomorrow.
There's positives everywhere you look. He, even despite Fallon being there, he was able to get some laughs. They did a little club twirling. Yeah, they didn't talk about 1994 at all. And yet still somehow the show went on.
Yeah, they went on anyway, JT taught him how to club twirl. He didn't. Jimmy Fallon is.
No.
I don't. Who do you take? Who's worse, Justin Thomas or Jimmy Fallon?
Bring one from the Fayetteville archives for you, okay? I could ride cross country with Justin Thomas. I couldn't ride across town with Jimmy Fallon.
I think I'm there too. Yeah, honestly, Duff, I had forgotten that Jimmy Fallon was still on TV. So I guess Justin Thomas is doing that, growing the audience for The Tonight Show. But I can't imagine he moved the needle very much. I hope golf ratings.
That's another great transition, J Score, because we have ratings, we don't have ratings, folks. We're not going to have the ratings game tonight because, unfortunately, we don't have any ratings available from last week's PGA Tour event, the Sanderson Farms Championship. Sanderson Farms on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, none of those 4 days did the Sanderson Farms manage to rate in the top 150 cable programs of the day. So we have no numbers. We could get the numbers. Certainly NBC and Golf Channel PR department has those Nielsen ratings. They, for whatever reason, have decided not to tweet them out. For
multiple calls were not returned.
For reference, this event last year, the first 3 days didn't register either, but on Sunday, actually the first 2 days, but on Sunday, the ratings were somewhere in the 237,000 average viewership area, with the key demo, that is the 18 to 49 demo, 17,000 last year on Sunday for the final round, 17,000 humans between the ages of 18 and 49 turned into the Sanderson Farms. It was worse this year. There was a winner. Does anybody know who it was? I didn't watch. I was in Santa Barbara. I'll tell you right now,
It was Mackenzie Hughes on the back of numerous gritty par saves on the last nine. Said something interesting in an interview that I read. I love to hear this kind of stuff because it's inspiring for anyone in tough circumstances, where he said he just believed it was going to happen. When he got in bad circumstances, he didn't lose the belief. And that kind of determination is inspiring.
Good for you, McKenzie.
Congratulations,
Hughes.
Mr. Hughes.
So he won in a playoff over Sepp Straka, who, of course, lost in a playoff. That seemed like it was about a month ago, right? I mean, it's the second straight playoff loss for Sepp, whom we like. McKenzie, recall, was not chosen by the brilliant genius Trevor Immelman, captain of the international squad of the President's Cup competition. He wasn't chosen. We'll get to the winner over in Europe, also not chosen by the genius Trevor Immelman, also a winner in Europe on the DP World Tour. Mackenzie Hughes is Canadian, of course. The other two Canadians, Corey Connors and
Taylor Pendrith?
Taylor Pendrith. Yeah, they played like garbage. They scored no points in the President's Cup. Mackenzie Hughes stayed home. Probably the biggest story out of that tournament was that LLG favorite Jimmy Walker missed the cut, unfortunately. No cash for
absolute,
Jimmy.
Tough.
Absolute bummer, and I was off social media for the last however many days, so I didn't even get to see if he had any news. We'll keep you posted as developments arise.
Well, I know that Jimmy, one thing that is important we should point out to our listeners, Dynamite Ranch merch is available. Jimmy Walker is fulfilling orders. Get your hats, your t-shirts, whatever you need, Dynamite Ranch. Jimmy, call us. We're ready to have you on the show when you're ready. Mackenzie Hughes won $1.422 million and 500 FedEx Cup points. He's now in the lead. He's your FedEx Cup leader. He's the number one player on the PGA Tour, Mackenzie Hughes.
Very cool. Want to do a quick thing since you mentioned the President's Cup. Obviously, nobody cares about the President's Cup. Nobody. But on another podcast, can't believe we didn't get the scoop, but Trevor Immelman, former President's Cup captain and loser, was on Claude Harmon III's podcast talking about the President's Cup and all the things.
That's called Son of a Butch, right? I like the name of that podcast. I haven't listened to it, but Son of a Butch is a pretty good name.
I love that. I will have to check it out now. Anyway, the thing that all of us say, all of the cognoscenti out here in the podcast world, we say, change the format. Co-ed, leverage the advantage that the international squad has in women's golf, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, quote, I've had to listen to that crap for 2 years now. People hitting me up on social media all the time telling me they've got to blow this thing up. I find it disrespectful on all accounts, to be extremely honest with you. I find it disrespectful to us as international golfers that are professional athletes that compete at the highest level week in and week out. We're not scrubs, end quote. Yes, you kind of are.
You're absolutely scrubs.
You get crushed every single time.
You're 1-12. You're 1-1-12. I don't know how you reverse that. You're 1-1-12. You stink. It's a joke. Nobody cares. Nobody's watching. Even the biggest PGA Tour stooges, stands, mouthpieces, all admit nobody's watching. You're not getting it done. Nobody's watching. Well, it's against football. Yeah, it's against football because you know it's not a big deal. You know this isn't the thing. So you throw it out there and say, oh, maybe this will work. It's not working.
Yeah, I mean, if I could check the numbers, but I'm certain I refreshed my fantasy football scoreboards a lot more than I refreshed any golf leaderboards this last weekend. And I mean, that's just the nature of it. The golf season's too long. The pro golf season's too long. The actual golf season's too short. But pro golf itself doesn't need to be
as
long of a season as it is.
So they say this stuff, these guys on Twitter, when you report that the ratings are low, or in the case of the Sanderson Farms, that the ratings are non-existent, they're not high enough to be reported by Nielsen. You always get, well, it's football season. Of course, yeah, I understand that it's football season. And this is what I and others have been saying all along, is that what are you putting on these events for? This is a sham. NBC, the Golf Channel, didn't pay all that money for the Sanderson Farms. This is a tag-along deal. They got to take this because they want to broadcast the Players' Championship and they want to broadcast Riviera. So they take this. You know, 2 weeks ago or a week ago, when everyone was making fun of a potential time buy by LIV Golf, they're like, ha, can you believe that? Networks don't actually want to pay. Well, you know what? If you were selling these PGA Tour tournaments on an a la carte basis, NBC, Golf Channel, CBS ain't buying the Sanderson Farms. this would be a time buy if it were on TV at all. It's not making them money. And so they buy this stuff, and social welfare for PGA Tour players that I've been talking about all along. This tournament is being subsidized by the good tournaments that the good players are in. This $8 million purse for the Sanderson Farms should not be given to Sepp Straka and Mackenzie Hughes. It should be transferred into the tournaments that people care about and thus the networks are paying for. So miss me with all this, yeah, it's football season. Yeah, it's football season. Stop putting this crap on TV. Nobody wants it.
Well said. Well said.
Amen. I don't want it either.
All right. So in other news, golfers that people do want to see, golfers that people do want to hear from, Tiger Woods, top of that list. He announced this week the Field for the Hero World Challenge to take place between December 1st and December 4th in the Bahamas. This is a 20-person field. It'll have great golfers in it, led by Scottie Scheffler, number one in the world. 2, 3, and 4 won't be there, but Xander at number 5 will be there. There are 3 tournament exemptions. Remember, this is a 20-person field, no-cut event, in silly season, in the Bahamas. It gets OWGR points. So that brings me back to OWGR. Never leaves the news these days, apparently. Hearing more about it from the usual suspects. And a couple of weeks ago, it was, you can't create a ranking system that can compare live events and PGA Tour events. It's impossible. Well, that's not true, of course. Data Golf's already doing it. And one of their favorite refrains is, well, they knew what they were signing up for. Why are they complaining about the points now? These guys in the media, these PGA Tour mouthpieces, are the same guys who reported with glee when they discovered just a few months ago that if DJ or Taylor Gooch or whomever didn't play on the PGA Tour, their world ranking would plummet over the next year. And now they're saying, well, why don't you just operate under the rules that were in place? But those rules were created by the PGA Tour, the European Tour, and the majors. That is, they were created by the cartel that runs professional golf. And one of the very rules that they keep saying you knew needed to be abided by was this one-year waiting period. You can't get points until you're a functioning tour for 1 year. In other words, if you want to start a competitor to the PGA Tour and to the European Tour, you necessarily have to do it without getting any of your players' world ranking points during the first year. So good luck attracting players, right? These guys, these golf media personalities, they don't see anything wrong with that. They think it's fine. These are the rules. You have to play for them. But that's the epitome of anti-competitive behavior. I mean, it literally prevents anyone other than the Saudis or someone like them with infinite pockets to be able to launch a competitive tour, because they need to pay players enough to get them to accept the risk that they won't get any world ranking points and be able to play in the majors. So the same goes with 72 holes and no-cut BS. These rules ensure that competitors will never be able to enter the market. That's what they're missing with their continual OWGR rants. That's what they're missing when they say, we don't get it. These are just the rules.
You know, who'd have thunk an 18-man event, no cut, that started just briefly ago in the year 2000 could rise to this level of prominence in the professional golf ecosystem such that it demands a huge purse and OWGR points?
They must have done everything right. They did everything right.
I'm sure they followed all the rules. All 18 of them are class acts who I'm sure did everything. I'm sure they didn't get anything and they had to battle for it, like a free and open market.
Oh, the market conditions are one thing. And this is one of those situations where, like, there's this old joke that says the meek shall inherit because they stay up late and change the will. It's this thing where are we going to play golf? Is it going to be about golf? Can we play some golf somewhere, or do we have to keep moving things around? And, oh, well, you have to wear blue shirts. Like, you guys don't understand. There has to be, you have to wear awful blue shirts with hideous stripes, or we can't do it. Or there must be this percentage of golf courses that benefit certain, not just charities, you guys, but certain charities. you know, that we would name, and we'll let you know later.
And the other thing,
after we find out what benefits.
And the other thing, JT, is can we just play golf? That's what Dustin Johnson or Taylor Gooch is asking, right? What you and I are asking is, can we see golf? I don't care. I don't want to hear they knew what they were signing up for. I don't care. I'm just the fan. Don't give me this guy and that guy knew what they were doing. I don't care. I want to see the best players. What are you, PGA Tour, Augusta, US Open, whomever, OWGR, what are you doing to ensure I get what I want? The answer is nothing. You're taking sides in this ridiculous squabble between multimillionaire groups.
I'm not certain how the Masters itself can benefit from taking away such a large part of their already small field. They already have the weakest field of any major. So, but that's going to be the, you know, that's going to be the big clue. Like, you're going to find out whenever those things get issued, just how the rest of this is going to go, because nobody's going to mess with Augusta National.
Yeah. You know, that's the other J score you were mentioning. They got the ranking points for Hero World Challenge. I'm hearing this too. Well, they petitioned every year. It took them a while. They started in 2000. They didn't get points until 2008. Are you kidding me? Are you absolutely kidding me? They started a 16-person hit and giggle in 2000 when the OWGR was not owned and operated by the PGA Tour, by the way. This wasn't originally, these guys, this cartel, the PGA Tour and the majors, they didn't always have their hands all over the OWGR. That didn't happen until 2004. So there wasn't this petitioning process like these guys were filing petitions for certiorari at the Supreme Court. They were petitioning every year, and they're just trying and doing the right things. That's nonsense. In 2004, the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour, then the European Tour, and the majors took over the OWGR. And in 2008, Tim Fincham, who's the de facto head at that time of the OWGR, said, Tiger wants world ranking points. He gets world ranking points. There wasn't some grievance procedure. There was a due process. This is just give Tiger some points. And everybody gets points, no cut points. And JT, I know you like to ask, well, what would you do? How do we do it then? What's your solution? Not just complaining. Yeah, it's pretty easy, man. Every tournament that the OWGR gives points for, they don't give points to everybody. They give points if you make the cut. So if there's a 150-person tournament and only 60 guys make it, then you give that percentage to every tournament. So if that's 55% of the field gets points, well, 55% of the field in a live event gets points. And all of these, you know, Data Golf is doing it. It's so easy to get it done. Totally miss me with the how would we do it? Easily. Just because we want to, we do it. It's easily done. That's a BS excuse.
So you said it before, like Data Golf already has all the information for plenty of tours and can collect it. So why not just lean into that? Well, look back at the founding of the OWGR, Mark McCormick. It was a system to put Jack at number one. Like, it was a marketing thing. It's an agent.
Yeah, was it Jack
PR
or
move.
Or Greg Norman himself? Either way, it was all, of course it was. And that's the thing. People are like, well, these are the rules. There's nothing nefarious about it. First of all, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what
the rules made his own client number one.
Yeah, but it also doesn't matter what the intent behind this exclusion is. When you look at the effect, when you look at the fact that it's not possible for a competitor, a true competitor, to arise under these rules because the PGA Tour immediately says players who play somewhere else can't play for them anymore. And then the OWGR says, you can't get rankings points unless you exist for a year. So that guarantees that the best players would immediately plummet in the ranking. So whether it's the intent or the effect, what it is this cartel is preventing competitors from entering this space. How can you think that's good? How can you think that's, well, you knew the rules, have to deal with it, can't be a competitor, can't compete with the PGA Tour. It's just, it blows my mind that people think this way.
Yeah, it's nonsensical to me that the very first thing that's come along forever to try to improve professional golf entertainment is met with such resistance at every turn. I've had some conversations with some folks where I've said, tell me what it is that you don't prefer? Is it the number of holes? Is it the golf courses? Is it the shotgun start? Is it the rock and roll? Is it the skydiver? Is it the commercials? Is it the lack of commercials? Is it the announcers? Is it the fact that it's that they actually show shots of golf? Is it the fact that everybody that you meet at the tournament is having a blast? Is it the fair concessions prices? And then they just go down one after the other. So can't stand it, can't stand it, can't stand it, can't stand it, can't stand it. But I also don't like watching PGA Tour golf on TV. And it's like, well, then you should start a chimney sweep business and work on Saturdays and Sundays between 2 and 6, because you have no interest in this whatsoever. For people who are seeking golf entertainment of any kind, this is a move in the direction. This is asking questions and doing things. And for the 33rd time, this is in its larval stage, right? We do not know what it shall become. The fissure in golf and this new opportunity with new investment dollars and new venues and team golf is an opportunity for something new to happen. And for people who are just negative at every single aspect of this new offering, they're intellectually dishonest, yeah, is the nicest way
I can say. If there were that. Really a complaint, an honest, genuine, organic complaint, you could levy that complaint and you've got a better chance than you ever will with the PGA Tour of getting that complaint addressed. You know, I want to see guys wear shorts. I want to see guys wear long pants. I want to see whatever. These guys are doing things. They're changing things. They're trying to innovate. You're never getting that with the PGA Tour unless you're getting it from fear of competition.
While we're here, the cartel expanded by one member this week as Pro Golf Japan, Asao Aoki, aligned himself with the PGA Tour and is going to basically set that place up to be a feeder tour to the PGA Tour as well, as they're arranging for their top order of merit or money list. I don't know what FedEx Cup they have. However they score people out, their best or top finishers are going to be moved to the PGA Tour in some form or fashion.
Or to the European Tour. There's several levels of promotion now between those guys, but the upshot is you will be banned from playing on the Japanese Tour if you play on LIV Golf. That's really what it's about. I have to admit, it's shocking to me. The PGA Tour obviously has some of the best antitrust lawyers in the world working for them, and they're getting advice that says, keep working on this. Keep doing it. Keep doing what you're doing. It's amazing. This seems like clearly conspiratorial conduct intended to harm competition, but they're rolling with it, man. They're like keeping after it. Enough with the OWGR. We didn't talk about what happened last week in the LPGA. JT and I had some very light, very friendly money on Celine Boutier at the Ascendant in the Colony, Texas, at the Old American Golf Course. She did not win. Spoiler, Charlie Hull.
Celine did not. She did not ascend. She descended.
Charlie Hull held off Siyu Lin by a stroke to win at 18 under. She collected $255,000, which is a disgustingly low number. It was her second LPGA win and her first in 6 years since 2016. Charlie is 26. Lydia Ko finished third, 2 strokes back. Taya Titical was fourth. And our horse, Celine Boutier, finished ninth. She was like a stroke back going into the final round at a club where she's a member. And she just, she didn't show up on Sunday, shot a 72.
The racing form would say stalled.
Lexi, I'm a big Lexi guy. Lexi came in 10th. LPGA is out here in Southern California this week at the MediHeal Championship at the Satakoi Club. Matilda Castron won last year. And then they take a week off before they do a little mini Asia stretch in South Korea and Japan. There has been some chatter this week, some more chatter about LIV Golf women. I think this is going to happen. It seems like a no-brainer. Why wouldn't they do it? Positive PR.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen. I think it makes a ton of sense. I think with the Gulf Saudi ambassadors already in place, I think it seems like it wouldn't be that hard for them to. I mean, if the Hero World Challenge can start with 18 people, I would think LIV wouldn't be that hard pressed to find enough.
Yeah, and I don't
ladies
have
and I don't talented have, players to fill that out.
I don't have that in front of me. I think that the Aramco Series New York is next week, and I know both of the Korda sisters are playing. Lexi's playing, maybe Lydia. All the big names are there for that Aramco, which is the Saudi owned national oil company. It was a big series. Whenever you bring it up, they say, well, that's not an LPGA thing. That's an LET thing.
Just, yeah, deflect. If you just keep repeating the lie, that's political advice, I feel like. Sorry, we don't do politics here. But as for LIV's potential future in women's golf, in the current media environment, our media in the United States anyway, gives a lot of play to unequal pay for what they call equal work in sports, in soccer, in basketball. There's talk of this all of the time, and there's an argument about television ratings or whatever. But given that that's kind of negligible in golf, the skill, there is really no discernible difference. I mean, if you just eliminate distances of adjusted for already, and after that, professional women play incredible golf. And if they're able to have a better tour where they play less, go to better spots, play for more money, I don't think anyone can make a straight face argument that that would be bad for golf or the United States or for golf media or for anyone who talks about
golf. Yeah, and even if
not to go back and kick a dead horse, but the Sanderson Farms $8 million purse, I mean, if you think that, like, that's just obscene. And there's to see the purses the ladies play for week after week it's really tough to see. And then again, Sanderson Farms, $8 million.
Yeah, the top eight players in the Sanderson Farms won more than Charlie Hull won this week. That's
didn't even register ratings.
Well, that's good. We're done with that. LPGA, you know, we're big fans here. We know that it's not for everybody, but it should be. It's as simple
would as recommend that. Watching.
All right. The PGA Tour is in Las Vegas this week, or
love Las Vegas,
West Las Vegas, Summerlin. Summerlin is technically part of, thank you, shout out Howard Hughes Corporation. Summerlin, a planned community on the west side of Las Vegas, TPC. Those are the courses owned by the PGA Tour Inc. That they purchase these golf courses and they own and operate them, and they invest all sorts of money that, you know, it's arguable that maybe a 501c6 organization should not be investing in land and real estate and golf course operations, but they do. They've got two courses there in Summerlin, TPC Summerlin, which is where this week's PGA Tour event will be held, and then right next door, TPC Las Vegas. It's the Shriners Children Open. I've attended this particular tournament on more than one occasion. I can tell you, nobody's there. You want to go out there, if you're in the Las Vegas area, you want to see some PGA Tour golfers up close and personal on Thursday and Friday, head over to Summerlin because you can see them. There's nobody there, and the TV ratings will largely match.
Summerlin seems like a great area. I've not played TPC Summerlin. I have played TPC Las Vegas, and it's fine. It's very, very sterile, very exactly what you'd expect for a desert property. I assume TPC Summerlin is more of the same, but maybe even a notch above
that. Yeah, they're both well manicured. They're very well taken care of. They're the kind of place that, you know, TPC Las Vegas is the one that's open to the public. They will gouge visitors to the Las Vegas area. You can pay $250 to play a golf course that is not worth anywhere
gross.
Near $250.
No.
Apparently it makes money. It's going to make money for future PGA Tour players down the road or for future PGA Tour executives down the road. I don't know where that money's going. All I know is it's not going into purses. They continue to invest in real estate and golf courses and golf course management. There are some good players there in Summerlin this week. Cam Davis, Patrick Cantlay, Aaron Wise, Sungjae Im among. You guys have any picks?
Absolutely. If you are interested in the outcome of sporting events from a financial perspective, this could be the week for you. If gambling is legal in your state, this is a value bettor's paradise. The eighth choice on the board is 50-1. President's Cup stalwart Taylor Pendrith at 50-1.
That
guy
stinks, though. He didn't win any points.
Yeah. No, I'm rooting hard for Siwoo Kim. This feels
Siwoo shaking that booty, 55-1.
Well, that feels like 20-year-old superstar Tom Kim is also in the field. Remember, he's 4 months younger than Akshay Bhatia. Of course, also J-Score, have to point out Tom Hoagie, hometown hero, is in the field. I would think you're rooting hard for him.
Yeah, and he could do well too.
He loves this fall event nonsense. That's his thing, right?
at 50. Yeah. But, I mean, at odds that are incredibly long for people who are knocking on the door for a first win, Maverick McNealy at 65, Nick Hardy at 70, Jason Day at 90, Justin Su at 100.
Jason Day, he doesn't have anything left in the tank, does he? What? How did Jason
Maybe
Day?
Maybe one more for the old times.
So speculation
90
wise,
to 1. You could talk me into that all day long.
If we were to speculate, Jason Day, clearly he was not invited to join Liv, right? Greg didn't want any piece of Jason Day.
He can't play anymore.
Because he absolutely would be there if he were invited. If he were offered the payday, he would have taken it. There's no way he wouldn't.
I would think so. This has also got to be like just the best thing ever for like a 10-guy top 10 parlay or something. Round robin. I don't know. Lots of fun to be had out there, guys. If you're interested in the outcome of sporting events from a financial perspective,
continues to try to make this a golf gambling podcast.
We're so does OTP have a pick?
Yeah, non-gambling
related,
give it to us.
A pick.
Maverick McNealy.
Okay, that's
okay. Duff, do you have a pick?
No, I don't. I haven't thought about it. I'll give it to you offline.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, that's more than fair.
I don't know. There's some good play.
I was one thing I wanted to say about the Shriners is it just going back to golf fundamentally is a business, and I'm not saying this is cartel related or Illuminati related, but it is another example of it's not how you play or what you're doing out there in a lot of cases. A lot of cases, it's who you know and what calls you make and what calls you take. And was listening to Katrek and McGinnis today on PGA Tour Radio, and they had Craig Stadler on. Love hearing from Craig Stadler. And he was telling a story about how he always wanted to play in the Pro-Am and wasn't ever getting an invite, ended up calling a bookmaker in another state who he had a relationship with. And basically that guy made a call, and next thing you know, Stadler was in. And
I'm confused. Was Stadler on the tour at the time, or when was he trying to get into a program? Are you saying that they were excluding Stadler from the Pro-Am as a dues paying member of the PGA Tour? I'm confused.
I don't exactly know if there was a limited number of openings in the Pro-Am and that he wasn't quite moving the needle as being a pro that would participate in it, or what exactly the details were. I was admittedly only half listening because I was driving in the car with my kiddo, but hearing him talk about finally getting invited into this thing, and I don't know if it was as a pro or what exactly it was, or a celebrity or what have you, what his role was, but yeah, called a bookmaker. Sorry, I shouldn't say bookie. He did describe them as a bookmaker. And that's how he got in. And
was this at the Shriners, or are you talking about just some general?
I want to say it was Shadow Creek, something back in the day at Shadow Creek or something or other.
All right. I got to do a little producing here. The laptop, I mean, we've got electrical issues here in Hollywood. I'm down to 19% on the laptop. We're going to get moving. We got to keep it moving. I'm afraid we're going to get cut off.
Time check.
Yeah. Moving on, we've got we got to talk about what happened in Scotland. Tournament at the Old Course and Carnoustie and King's Barnes, right? Three courses in St. Andrews area. And the winner was Ryan Fox. Ryan Fox is another snubbed international President's Cup potential team member, not picked by Trevor Immelman. He's from New Zealand. He won by one stroke, holding off Callum Shinquin and Alex Noren on the Old Course at St. Andrews. Weather was kind of wild early in the week. Then it looked like it calmed down. Fox was behind by one stroke, behind Richard Mansell by four after 54 holes. Mansell shot a 76, tied for seventh. McIlroy, JT's guy, tied for fourth, shot behind Englishman Shinquin and Alex Noren, and one ahead of England's Daniel Gavins.
That sounds about right. Machiavelli getting it done, cashing checks, shot a 59, got to enjoy some time with his dad because, you know, he loves his father.
Now, J-Score, you've never been to Scotland.
I haven't.
OTP, you've played Carnoustie and the Old Course, but I don't think you've played King's Barnes.
So correct. No King's
so
Barnes.
So I'm the only one among us who's played King's Barnes, which leads us to LIV Golf Bangkok. LIV Golf is in Bangkok this week. They're playing a course called Stonehill. It opened this summer, and it was designed by Kyle Phillips. Kyle Phillips, maybe his most famous original design is King's Barn. So there we are. This is the kind of course that I think architecture nerds, or the kind of architect that I think architecture nerds support generally. I don't know what they think about this course. I think most of them haven't seen it, brand new. J-Score, it seems like you were doing a little research into this course.
Yeah, so it's hard to find information on it because it is so new, but it Kyle Phillips, designer, took 5 years to complete. I want to see pictures of it, right? I'm excited to see it. Does this course really exist? What does it look like? So naturally, where do I go? Google Maps. We got Earth up. We're zooming in. We're taking a look. It looks wide. It looks open. We got fairways that are connected. It looks like there's width and angles out there. I hopped into Google reviews to see if I could find some photographs. I'm looking for, you know, amateur photography ideally, because that to me, I think, gives just a better sense of things. And I don't know if they were legitimate. Could have been, you know, paid photos, whatever, but it looks like there's width and angles and some movement in the ground. And I'm looking forward to seeing what it looks like on the broadcast.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be shat upon by the golf Twitterati and the podcast elite, but I don't know. It looks pretty cool from the pictures that I've seen so far. The media center looks really nice, JT. I think we're missing out this week. It's right looking above the driving range. It's owned by some billionaire, right?
Right, exactly. So why wouldn't it be top shelf, best of the best when it's a pet project of a 57-year-old billionaire worth $12 billion?
I'd have to assume, though, he's not in the Golf Illuminati since he's, you know, involved in this live event. And probably his application, if it's been filed, it's going to be deferred at best.
You're not going to be surprised when I tell you this then, Duff, that of course I dove as deep as I could in Google and the internet looking for information on the owner, the founder of the golf course. And he approached Liv.
What's his name? Does he have a name?
Sarath Ratanavadi.
Love it.
I'm probably, there's no doubt I'm butchering that, but I think I did okay. We'll get some reps in later. And he's honestly just a big promoter of golf. Diversification of his investments, things like this, big in oil, or not oil, but energy, natural gas,
crypto
primarily.
Guy? A little bit of a crypto guy?
And a little bit, of course, crypto. Who's not a crypto guy?
Big news
guy?
This week on the crypto.
I hate crypto personally.
Big news on the crypto front this week. Kim K got a little bit of a beatdown from the from the SEC, I think.
Got to disclose
this,
your
This is a lesson
partner.
For all you podcasters and other social media golf influencers out there. You better start disclosing your financial interests in these not just securities type companies, but like you getting money. I want to see that includes, you know what? That includes the PGA Tour too. I saw PGA Tour. They tweet some stuff out there. It's basically a Titleist ad. Yeah. I want to see paid promotion on there. I want full disclosure. I'm tired of this BS.
Yep.
We always let folks know here at LLG.
Nobody's paying us anything.
Well, listen, maybe not, but when they are, we always let you know.
Yes. We will. But so
Jimmy Walker and Dynamite Ranch not paying us. That we just that those are
no Dynamite Ranch.
Out of the love of the game.
We just like them.
So Sarath Ratanavadi, 57-year-old worth billions, and to me it really just seems like a pet project from a guy. I needed to vet out if he was compromised by the Illuminati, and I found a quote that he described. After going with a Liv, he says it's not a sign that he's taking any sides in this situation. He says, quote, "It's like a feud between husband and wife. It's none of my business," he said. And that's just smart. That's just smart business. Don't take any sides. Why bother?
That's what we do here.
Everybody's money.
That's what we
same.
Do here on Live Left Golf. It's been often misinterpreted, frankly, because of our name, I think. And folks should know we're strongly considering a rebrand out here because we are not, of course, affiliated with Live Golf, Live Golf Investments in any way. We are tour agnostic, as we like to say here at LLG. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got a lot of gripes with the PGA Tour. There's no doubt about that. But we would love to see it become a better product. We'd love to see these nonsensical ball series tournaments go away, have that money pumped into where it should be, get good players in 15 to 20 events on the PGA Tour, have great players in 14 events on the LIV Tour, and then watch four majors. That's what it's all about, isn't it? I mean, why can't we do that? Why can't we do that? Why does it have to be a battle to the death? Why is coexistence impossible, Jay Monahan? It's not.
Well, Duff, because the pie is really, really small. And if I have to share a big chunk of that pie with somebody else, then what am I going to do? And that's the thing is pro golf to me, pro golf has no bearing on my love for golf and my obsession with golf, playing golf, traveling to see golf courses and meet people and experience all things adjacent to golf. Like pro golf has zero bearing on any of that. I just want to be entertained.
Yeah, I don't know if that's great to publicize too strongly on a pro golf podcast, but we appreciate that point of view.
It's a golf podcast. it's an objective. I'm being objective. If anybody ever doubts my objectivity,
this podcast is great if you don't love golf.
I think that's
a compliment because a lot of people don't love golf. So it's great for a lot of people, the majority of people, the great majority.
Yeah. To me though, pro golf and golf are just, they're not the same. It's like pro golf is this whole other thing in the golf ecosystem. I think that's part of the reason why they're even saying golf ecosystem because it's this whole other thing.
I love it, man. You're our contrarian. We love it. Well, we got a couple of contrarians, but listen, update on the battery status. We're at 12% remaining. So let's do picks for Live Bank. I'm in the lead. I think it's 3-1-1. Is that the current status?
Yep. Sounds right.
All right. J-Score, as the most recent winner, we'll let you go first. Who do you like?
Thank you. This week, I'm going for it. Bryson DeChambeau coming off second place finish in the World Long Drive. And this course looks like it's got width and angles. So I think he might be able to unleash some 406-yard bombs on this place. Yeah, and as long as his chipping and putting isn't horrific, he might run away with it.
It's a total mystery. Our resident grass specialist, OTP Lefty, is there anything we should know? Is maybe this isn't a good grass for Bryson?
I think it's fine because they're still allowed to use tees.
Well, he's going to have to hit the ball.
If there is any iffiness, you know, closer to the green, better shape. To me, seems like it's going to be a Bermuda or something like it. I am slightly interested in that sort of stuff. We'll see how it translates. I'm very picky about that kind of stuff. What pick would I like to make, Duffer? I'm ready with my pick.
Who do you like, JT?
Thank you for asking. Taylor Gooch from your Four Aces will be the winner this week. We're going to keep making that pick. We're going to keep following him and supporting him. It's time for him to start winning, to realize the potential. Go Taylor Gooch.
I don't hate that.
Okay,
pick.
All right.
As you can see, folks, folks with the Smell-O-Vision, the video, radio, podcast equipment, I've put my Four Aces hat on. Taylor Gooch is a great pick. I may have taken him. I have to let the losers go first. Haters, losers always go before the winners. I'm a three-time winner. I'm about to become a four-time winner. I would take Taylor. You want to take Taylor? I'm taking Dustin Johnson. He's the best golfer on the planet. Oh, best golfer on the planet right now. He's going to win. He's going to clinch. He's going to get $18 million. He's going to get $4 million, another $750,000 for the team. He's going to win almost $23 million this week to go along with the, I think, over $12 million that he's already won. It's unbelievable. I'm just rooting for him to like bathe in gold coins like Scrooge McDuck.
Scrooge McDuck. Love it. Love it. Incredible. Duff, I love to see you going out on a limb. Oh, wait. Chalk again. Your Four Aces again. The hat is just, what are you going to do when it all shakes up and there's a redraft?
I love it. I can't wait till the early press conferences next year. I want to say this is BS. We need to break up like AT&T. This is nonsense. We're going to close this out. What do we got? OTP, you got something?
Teams, players, last minute additions have not been added to the site. So we wish everyone the best. Of course, Stinger GC, a chance to rise in the rankings before we head to Miami. That's all I've got for you guys.
Yeah, so DJ has a chance to clinch the individual title for the season. Remember, the winner, most points in the regular season, gets $18 million. DJ has 118 points. Second place is Brandon Grace. So if he wins, he clinches. I don't think he needs to win. He's got a really great opportunity. Behind Brandon Grace, there are a bunch of people bunched up who can get in there. I think it's 18, 8, and 4 for first, second, third place, respectively. So we've got DJ, then Brandon Grace at 79, and then some bunching. Cameron Smith, Charles Schwartzel, Matthew Wolf,
Oosthuizen, and Peter Uihlein. I love seeing Peter Uihlein is in seventh place, 46 points, has a real chance to podium in the season-long standings. Love that for Pete. If that's it, we're good to go. I'm getting warning signs, battery low. Anything else, folks?
Nothing. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the golf.
Thanks. Take care.
See you next week.
Thank you tonight.